I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Halloween 2. Halloween 2 is a 1981 American slasher film directed by Rick Rosenthal, written and produced by John Carpenter and Deborah Hill, and is the second installment in the Halloween film franchise. The plot picks up directly after the first film. As Michael Myers continues to murder the citizens of Haddonfield, he heads to the hospital to kill the injured Laurie. It's now up to Laurie and Dr. Loomis to stop Michael and his murderous rampage.
Listen.
Yes?
On the record,
yeah.
I think this is a piece of shit. However, I do want to say it has one of the greatest moments I've ever seen on screen, and that is when the guy that looks like Michael Myers gets hit by a car,
explodes.
Knocks into a van, and it explodes.
Yeah.
It is so fucking
it's
good.
It's unhinged.
I think I enjoyed this one more, but I think used when I messaged you guys, I was like, I'm enjoying this more, and Sean, you were like, yeah, but that's because you've got a benchmark. I think I know.
Yes.
A bit like with Friday the 13th, I know where I am now.
Yeah.
I know the world of Halloween. I know what's going to happen. So when characters do ridiculous shit, when deaths are insane, and when Donnie Pleasance is running around yelling, I shot him 6 times!
He's not human! He's not human!
Yeah.
He's not human! He's not...
He can't be.
He can't
because,
be.
Yeah.
So he got shot 6 times at the end of the first film,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
He gets shot like 15 times.
He gets shot in each eye.
He gets shot in the head, yeah.
Like, it was honestly made me livid. It was on the... From the start, like, watching this movie, okay, my expectations were low given the first one, but because it replayed that scene at the start where he gets shot 6 times and then he's fine, he's literally could not be better in like the top of health, and he's walking around happily murdering people, he's not even fucking limping or anything.
No.
I was already like, all right, well, I'm checked out. I don't give a fuck. What's the point if this dude literally can take a million bullets to the chest and face and nothing happens? Like, he's Superman.
Yeah.
And like, granted, Superman is a serial killer.
Yeah.
That's a cool premise.
But
in this movie, it sucks dick.
Superman corrupted, really.
Yeah.
It hurts to see your heroes like this, to be honest. I'm trying to think of Adam's thing of like rooting for the killer. And I can't even really get behind him because he's so slow. Just walk quickly. There's that bit where she's going in the elevator. And it's like, man, if you just like...
Yes.
If you just power walked, you could end this right now. He's a dipshit.
Right. End it for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, he's been in a coma for a million years. He's a bit... there's something kind of... I kind of respect the slowness of it. There's something kind of... There's something terrifying because he just feels inevitable.
Yes.
He's just... He's going to get you. Like,
yeah.
You can run real fast. You can climb a building. You can weapon up and you can shoot him.
Yeah.
But he will just get back up and he will just slowly come after you and burn you alive in a bathtub.
This is a great... That's a great point, Tom. The slowness is actually great. I'm coming at this from seeing like lots of later iterations that were probably inspired by this.
Yeah.
The slowness is fine and I guess it works for this character. It's so frustrating to see... the slow villain walk basically in like nearly everything else that's come out since. Like that never makes sense. Why you walk so slowly?
Yeah.
If you just jogged, movie's over.
Right.
You win.
Yeah.
They're idiots. It's like the villain explaining the plan to the hero and then getting killed. It's dumb. It's just, it does my head in.
Run, Michael, run.
I think there are times when it works and that's when like he doesn't need to hurry because the person, like, all they can do is keep running down that corridor. He's going to get up to them eventually. The elevator example is a great one because, no, she's getting away. Like, if he was really that desperate to kill her, which he is, like,
yeah.
as obviously the movie explains why, which is also fucking dumb. But he's so desperate to kill her, she's going to literally get away. She's going to get in the elevator. He doesn't know what's going to happen after that. So at yeah. that point, you're like, no, no, you need to quicken your step there, champ. At least a light jog, you know. Yeah.
His cardio is poor as fuck. the poor big boy. I love that the actor who played him, his name, do you know what his name is?
No.
It's so funny. It's Dick Warlock.
Oh, wow. Big Dick
That's
Warlock.
Such a good name.
Well, he's not even that big, so he's the shortest of all the Michael Myers. Okay. And most of the time, the camera's situated, so it's like, no, he's still kind of got the presence of whoever. I can't remember who it was who played it in the first one.
Yeah.
But there is, I remember there being one shot. I'm blanking now on which exact scene. Nick, what, I think somewhere in
Nick,
the hospital.
I think Nick Castle played him in the first one.
That's it. Yeah, Nick Castle.
Does he get played by the same actor ever again? Or is it like a different actor every time?
I think it might have been different each time.
Yeah, I didn't do enough research to tell you, to be honest.
I'll check. You keep doing that. I'm going to see who continues right, you to do, play.
I'm DB Detective.
Jesus, there are so many of these movies.
But like in the first one, it's like it's that slowness and the presence of him. He's like literally like he was called The Shape in the original script. He wasn't even Michael Myers. But yeah, there's one shot in here where... he's quite, you can get a sense of his size because he's up again. He's actually close to somebody. And you're like, oh, you're a little shrimpy there, champ. Like, oh, I could take you.
Is he wearing lifts as well, probably?
He probably is, yeah.
Because
yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis, I'm not sure about this at all, but in my mind, she's quite tall.
Yeah, I picture her as quite tall. I've not met her.
Yeah, no. What have you found, Tom?
I've found something. So I've gone to the newest Halloween reboot. So there's a new trilogy started a couple of years ago. The character is billed as The Shape in that film.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Not Michael Myers. And it is played by Nick Castle.
Oh, there you go.
So he's come back for the Blumhouse reboot.
Nice.
It's a different guy in Halloween 4.
I'm sure they chop and change.
I mean, there's so friggin' many of them. It's insane.
I'm going to assume that in the rebooted franchise, it's Nick Castle in the one that Halloween kills and then Halloween Ends, which is the third one. He's not billed yet.
That's cool to get him back. Damon, did you say, was it Deborah Hill was the co-writer, I think you said?
Yeah. Co-producer at least, yeah.
I read an interesting thing about her, which is on the set, Dick, what was his last name again?
Dick Warlock.
Warlock. Dick Warlock said to her, yeah, am I doing the walk right and all that? And she was like, yeah, it's fine, keep going. And then later she criticized it because her and JC, Johnny Carpenter, are quite critical of the film.
Yes.
And it broke his heart because he was like, I asked her on the set.
Right.
And now she says in the movie, I walk too slowly. It just killed
me. That does suck. Because you're like, if you've literally made a point of it and she hasn't called you on it then, what the hell?
Yeah, poor Dick.
Yeah.
I tell you what broke my heart straight out the gate with this film because I wasn't really looking forward to watching it. But then I was like, oh, you know what? It's JC.
Yeah.
Because we love JC on this show.
Yeah.
But then it said directed by some other dude. JC didn't even direct it. That just broke my heart straight away. I was like, oh, man, what the fuck?
Well, he didn't do any others, did he?
No, he didn't want to. So I read today, he wrote the first one and directed, obviously, and he was like, that's a standalone movie.
Yeah.
Like, you guys can get fucked. We're not doing another one. And then they were like, here's money. And he went, you know what?
Okay.
He actually had a bit of a dispute from the first one where he didn't think he got paid proportionately to how successful it was and everything. So he's kind of like, in his eyes, I'll write the second one and that'll be like me getting my payback for what I really should have got for the first
one.
But he did direct a few scenes. They had him come in and like he got on he obviously, I think he was the composer as well, and he did the editing because he watched it and was pretty critical. He was like, this director doesn't know what he's fucking doing. This movie's really slow. It's not very scary. It's a bit shit. So he did like a re-edit of it and he filmed some of the more like graphic violence scenes as well, just to like make it a bit scarier. Right.
Yeah. Well, like I read that, you might have read this also, but yeah, he genuinely hates this film. Like you said, had no interest in it. The term I read is he's since called it an abomination and a horrible movie.
That's huge.
And then he also talks about like he was so he did write the thing, but he was like so unenthusiastic about it. He basically said The thing that got him through it was a six-pack of Budweiser every day, which led him to what he believes is an inferior script and poor choices in the movie's story.
I love it. It's just a drunk script.
Like every day, down in a six-pack, I'd be like, all right, let's get back into this pile of crap.
Oh, jeez. Man. I mean, that makes sense because it's weird. Like, I didn't love the first Halloween, but I watched this and I enjoyed this more. Mm. And I think if I went back and watched the first Halloween, I'd probably rate it higher than this. Sure. Because I now know what it's trying to do, maybe.
Yeah, I guess. I think this one is more enjoyable to watch. Like, I won't rewatch the first one because I just didn't really like it. And I know that's probably sacrilege to a lot of horror fans. But it wasn't for me. I don't think it was really for any of us. Tom, you might have been more into it, I think.
No, I didn't like it. I liked it. I looked on our Faithful Little Letterbox things and I rated it the lowest out of the three of us.
Oh, wow. That's big. Oh, okay, that's very big. Yeah.
I think Damo gave it three. I gave it two.
Yeah.
I think
there was enough there for me to like. There was But then this one, it's interesting, obviously, like following straight on from the events of the first one. I kind of don't hate that. It kind of gives
I love that, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gives it a feeling of pace straight away because we don't have to set anything up. We're straight into it.
Yeah.
But then after that, I think I have to imagine JC, like you just said, JC's additions, without those, it would have just felt super slow. Like it would have actually, you've got all this pace because you're coming straight off the heels of the last one. And then to have this slow, ambling movie, what a waste. Yeah. So, yeah, interesting to hear about JC's edits.
And it's only 90 minutes. And it's not what we would love, which is a tight 90. It's just a kind of loose and sluggish 90.
Yeah.
It does this thing that I do like, though, which is it has that whole thing of the immediacy of it afterwards, but also you kind of get the day is saved at the end of the first one. So it's like, right, well, what do we do now? Like, yes, he escapes, but what do we do now? You know, Laurie's been rescued. Mm. The cops are onto him. Loomis is onto him. What do we do here? So they just do this great thing where they just make all of the police incompetent. Well, not incompetent, but they're just looking in the wrong spots.
So
he's dismantling all these people in this hospital and the cops are just running around town with Loomis looking for him.
Yeah.
And he's not even there. He's in the hospital. Like, they're not even looking in the right place. And that's just a great little bit of Dread being like, no one's going to come and save her. She's been saved, but it was a false save because now she's having to fight for her life all over again, which is kind of nice.
The setting I really like the hospital, you get the sense the hospital's a bit out of town. So, yeah, like having this location that's like interesting because it's a hospital and it's a fairly deserted because it's the midnight shift and that sort of stuff. A lot of that I really liked. I thought that was quite fun. But again, I don't feel like it really delivered on that. That sort of the premise of it, I guess.
I find it interesting that, he hates this because I think the whole idea that she is his sister is shit. That's just shit.
Oh, yeah, that sucks.
Like, it would be fine. Like, you don't even need that. If he was just going after her because she's the one that got away, that's fine.
That's better.
It's way better than that. Like, that weird dream she has where she's like...
Right, to justify,
justify what's happening. And like, it's like she knows... Like, does she know that Michael Myers is her brother? Like, it's implied that she does, but also...
Well, it's like she's like somehow remembered it. Like,
she was too.
Right. It's so shit. Well, like, so again, a different interview I read with JC... and I say different because he once more talks about having a six-pack of beer in front of him. and so he says the idea of Laurie being Michael's sister came to him at 2 o'clock in the morning. So he's like desperate just to get this fucking script out. So it came to him at 2 in the morning in front of a typewriter with a six-pack of beer. And he now hates it. And he even said in that interview, it was 100% because he had seen Star Wars. And he was like, all right, that was dramatic.
Oh, I love that.
I love that he's so honest about...
Oh, yeah.
Like, This is unrelated to this, but has anyone... It's kind of tangentially related, but has anyone seen the news today about Andrew Lloyd Webber and the movie musical of Cats?
Yes. Yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
Oh, so Sean, he was interviewed today for something, and he talks about how, like... So he obviously wrote the stage version of Cats.
Yeah.
And he was saying that when he saw the movie, he was just like, oh, no, what have they done? To the point where just like... Yeah. It just broke him completely. And he was saying he got this dog that he decided was his therapy dog and he was going to take everywhere. And he went to take him on a plane and the plane was like, you need a medical certificate. What's the proof that he's a therapy dog? And in the proof, he just wrote back, please watch the Hollywood musical, the Hollywood movie Cats, to see what they did to my musical. And the airline wrote back and said, no doctor's note required.
That's great.
That's fantastic.
So I like to imagine, you know, JC went and got himself a dog and was like, this is my therapy dog. Like, how? Yeah. Well, have you seen Halloween 2 or 7? Because yeah. I tell you what, boys, there's a lot of Halloween movies. When I looked up to work out, like, how many there is. So there's 1, 2, and 3. But then 3 is like,
yeah. Can you weird. Do you have the synopsis for that? Because I read that today and I was like, what the fuck? And I also want to watch it.
Yeah. So three is the next one for us to watch. It's filmed a year. So they basically come out like 19. Oh, so there's actually quite a gap between 1 and 2.
Yeah, I think it was 78 and 81.
Yeah. Yeah. But then it's 82.
Yeah, but number 3 has, I think it's the only one in the series that has nothing to do with Mike Myers.
It's called Season of the Witch.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's set in the same franchise. But it's like about masks that make people kill people.
Yep.
Yeah, it's wild. So do you know much of the history of this one?
No.
So JC didn't direct it, but he actually was involved. So basically, he wanted the Michael Myers story to be standalone. Didn't really want this sequel. Threw money at him and a bunch of Heineken, and he came on board. And then after that, they obviously like, hey, this still did really well. We want to make more. And so he basically said, okay, Halloween isn't a ongoing story. It's not a serialized story. It's basically a whole bunch of different sort of horror stories that happen on Halloween.
That's great.
Yeah, I think it's fucking awesome. He envisioned this big franchise where basically they're all Halloween movies, but everyone is its own sort of standalone horror story.
Yep. Love
that. You can kind of go in lots of different directions. And then they made Halloween 3 Season of the Witch, which, as you mentioned, is not about witches. It's about masks somehow. And it tanked hugely. And then they're like, all right, we're not doing that. Let's jump back to Michael Myers because that was clearly what was working.
Well, yeah, then you get Halloween 4, which is called The Return of Michael Myers.
How?
Donald Pleasance comes back.
Yeah, what the fuck? Yes, I read this also. Like, fuck it. I'm so
Donald,
angry.
Hang on. Donald Pleasance. So he dies in... It's very clear that Pleasance kills himself to defeat Myers in 2.
Yeah.
He's in 4 and 5.
Of course insane. He is.
So is Michael Myers, to be fair. It's more upsetting to learn that Dr. Loomis comes back than... Like, that shot at the end of Myers' face melting, I'm like, oh, he'll just grow a new face, I guess.
Yeah, right.
I kind of hope that he put the mask on Loomis, and that was Loomis walking out on fire or something, you know?
Oh, that's interesting. That would have been more interesting.
But I'm sure they didn't do that.
No.
Remember Loomis, boys? Remember that Loomis could have been our man.
Could have been the Kush. Pleasance rocks it, though. That whole scene at the start when he's yelling.
Yeah.
The fact that all the cops hate him and, like... Yeah. Like, there's a beat.
Because he's a doctor, and he's got a fucking gun, and he's like an action man. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. He's 100% my favorite part of this. And even, like, when the cops are planning stuff, he's in there. He just, like, walks up like, yep, what are we doing, boys? Arguably takes charge a couple of times.
Yep.
And then my favorite point, I made a note of it. There's, like, early on in the thing when they're outside the house, and he's talking to the sheriff or whoever it is, and he has the line, which he delivers in his super hammy, beautiful, gorgeous way, which is, you don't know what death is.
And then the music.
And the music comes in, and he turns and does this like stumbly little jog in the office, because he's obviously not a runner, but he's obviously meant to be super dramatic. He's now running away after delivering this super theatrical line. Yeah. Oh, so great.
Such a great line. He's fantastic. Even like just little bits. So when that fantastic scene happens with that police guy hits a guy, crashes in the back of a van, it bursts into flames. He kind of runs over. Then they get the news that the sheriff's daughter is one of the girls who's been killed.
Yes.
And the cops jump in the car, and he just kind of gets in the back, and the officer's the cops just standing there next to his smashed car and a burning corpse.
Right. He basically caused the death of somebody, and then he's like, all right, into the back of the car, off we go.
And it's just, it's so clearly not him.
Yeah.
Like, you just, like, it's a guy in a mask, but it is so clearly not
right,
him.
Right.
That explosion is so good. It's like a Simpsons gag. You know, like when Homer drives through the soccer net and the net blows up? Yep. It's just ridiculous that. I fucking love it's that so much. And by that point, it's pretty early in the movie, and I was like, man, this movie fucking sucks. And then, whoa, like my jaw actually dropped, and I was like, well done, movie. I think I'm back. Yeah, I'm back in.
Yeah. I mean, like, but then you break it. Like, it's insane that there's a kid wearing a Michael Myers outfit. Like, this hasn't happened a year after and some people have sort of evangelized him.
Mm.
This was the debut. Like, it's still Halloween. It's still the same Halloween as in the first movie.
Yeah.
It's like an hour later.
Right. How is it that he's wearing the same boiler suit? He's got the same, like, a mask that looks similar enough to this singular mask that Michael Myers, like, it's insane that anyone has happened to be dressed up by him. It gets even more hectic when Dr. Loomis basically causes his death and then fucking bails.
Yeah.
It's just, but like, I agree. It was like arguably one of my favorite parts of the movie because it was just so insane. It was like, all right, any hope I had of this being logical, out the window. I'm just now on board for the ride.
Yeah, that's kind of like the moment, isn't it, where you go, oh, okay, this movie's just completely cooked. Like, they value insane death scenes over character or story.
That's it.
Yeah.
That is it.
But I mean, that's the point of it, right? This is where it was born. Mm. This is the slasher genre. This is its birth and inception, and I think we get spoiled because we got screwed.
Yeah, but the first one, Tom, wasn't graphically violent, really. I think there was a few, like, grisly bits. No. But I think it was very... I don't think it went out of its way to be, like, fucking as chaotic as this. Because JC was like, oh, no, there are other films like, you know, Friday the 13th and stuff, and we had to, like, lift our game and make it more you know, more fucked, basically.
Right.
Like, the burying her, like, drowning her in the...
boiling
the hot tub
water,
thing.
Yeah.
The boiling water was fucked.
Yes, insane. Another like, again, they're clearly just, logic doesn't matter. Why would a therapy pool get to boiling, like, why is that even an option on the...
Yeah, why?
It has a setting that says scalding.
No, like, it's a therapy pool.
It's like Wile E. Coyote.
It's scalding therapy. Like, this is fucking bonkers. I think that's what disappointed me most about it is that, like, the first one, for all its faults, really did sort of make some big waves. It really set up so much what we take for granted now, like we talked about in that episode. And so I think because this one came out, 3 years later, part of me was thinking, okay, it's come out. It's really like made, the first one's come out, made a big splash. There have been imitators in those 3 years who have ripped it off, obviously Friday 13th being the biggest one. I was kind of like, I don't know why, because I know that this one's not that well regarded, but I was hoping it would come in and go, all right, well, this is, we're the ones who set this up, so we're going to go take the idea further. And it didn't at all.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, here's a rehash of everything you liked about the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It also has one of my favorite bits, which is where the two paramedics, the good guy, Jimmy, paramedic, horny paramedic,
Bud,
who has a code.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, they're sitting there having coffee, and he's like, you're breaking the first rule. Don't fall for a patient. Like, what the fuck? Who are you?
Also,
you have a rule?
Where's the logic in his rule?
Right.
Wouldn't it be worse to fall? Wouldn't it be better to fall for a patient than a coworker?
Right. Yeah. Insane.
Look, he also sings Amazing Grace, Sit on My Face. And for that, 10 points. I love him.
His name's Bud, yeah.
Bud, yeah.
Yeah. The minute he appeared, started being a smart ass, I was like, oh, you're fucked.
Yeah. Like, even like, so he's him and Karen, the girl he was hooking up with. So Karen is a literal stunner. Bud looks like they found him at the nearest 7-Eleven. Like, he's like, there's a nothing face going on.
Yeah. He must have the girthiest dick in the world.
They should have shown it. That's what this movie needs.
What I thought, boys, I thought we were going to get a peen.
Yeah.
When he stood up to check the water, you just see his ass, and I'm like, are we going to get a dick? No. Yeah.
No. I was hoping we'd get a boiled peen. That it would sort of get into the water and just shrivel. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've never seen a boiled peen. I was curious.
Man, more peen on screen. That's what we need. It's travesty we didn't get it. I tell you what's interesting, just to note on this, is that it seems to be a trend that the creators of the things that they make do something that's successful and then it's hated. Like, then they're forced to do another one. I'm thinking of Nightmare, right? So there's all the sequels, and Wes Craven was like, ah, they're dog shit, I hate them all.
And
then came back to do his version, which was basically making fun of all the sequels that have been
made. Well, it's because, it's like the idea is great, but it's not that deep of an idea that you can make 10 movies off it. So everything afterwards becomes, to my mind, either completely cooked, which that's fun, don't get me wrong, or it becomes diluted. It's the same thing, but it's slightly like thinner and not as good. It's arguably boiled dick soup, which is not appetizing.
Yeah. Well, because so here's the thing, right? So looking at the Halloween collection, you've got the first one and the second one. Then there's the Season of the Witch. There's 4 and 5. Then a sixth movie in 95. Then you get H2O.
Yep.
Which is called Halloween H2O 20 years later. Mm-hmm.
That's the whole title. Already that's insane. That's the whole title.
Yeah. They bring Jamie Lee Curtis back.
Right.
It also features Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Adam Arkin, Josh Hartnett, and LL Cool J.
Fuck yeah.
I'm excited to watch that one, boys.
Yeah, can we skip some?
I think we can skip 4 through to 6.
I agree. I think we got to hit Season of the Witch because it's bonkers. Yep. So originally I was thinking, because I've sort of looked into the history of the timeline of Halloween. Originally I was thinking we've got to watch 1 and 2 and then jump to the absolute newest iteration because... As far as I'm aware, other than like the next generation, we're some of the few people out there who have not seen any of the Halloween stuff. And then we can basically, I believe the newest iteration either comes in after the first movie or the second one. I can't actually remember.
Yeah, the second one, I think. Yeah.
I was thinking, cool, we'll watch 1 and 2, then jump to the newest ones, skip all the chaff in the middle.
Yeah.
But now having read and heard about Season of the Witch, how can we not?
How can we not? So... But then after H2O, Rick Rosenthal comes back to make a 2002 film.
Why?
He was Halloween shit. Resurrection.
Oh, oh man.
It is terrible, but...
Shocked.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. So then you get the Halloween one, the new sort of Blumhouse one that people like, but I'm pretty sure there's another remake. Yep, 2007, they remade it with Rob Zombie. It is not canonically connected to anything.
Thinking, yeah.
It's just, it's a remake.
He did 2, didn't he, Rob Zombie?
I think he did 2.
Yeah.
Yep, Halloween 2. It's just, again, a shot-for-shot remake.
Crazy.
Of the first, basically, these are remakes of the first two.
Happy to skip them.
Yeah.
Malcolm McDowell plays Loomis.
Oh.
Maybe interested.
Okay, fuck. Stop.
I'd love a Loomis played by Anthony Hopkins, personally.
Oh, yeah. Hopkins off the chain?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Hopkins from, what was the Dracula one we watched?
Oh, Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Bram Stoker's Dracula. Yeah. That's the Hopkins I want to see.
Where he just teleports? That would be good.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right, boys. Were we scared?
No.
Nah.
Nah. Look,
not at all.
I think I can say that the elements of Mike Myers that I like, which is part of the slow walking. I think there were times in this movie where it was too slow, and so it kind of lost its effect.
Yeah.
But the calmness, the mask, there's the fact that you've got no... All the things that worked in the first one, that you can't really tell his emotional state at any point. All you know is that he's going to kill you. A lot of that still worked. There was one scene that I thought was really good where the nurse comes in and finds the dead body. And then all of a sudden he sort of comes out of the dark. Yeah, yeah. Comes out of the darkness behind her. And almost like it's a really good shot because obviously it would have all been 100% done in camera. But it does seem like he materializes in this really you know, arguably terrifying
fashion. That's a cool shot.
It was a good shot. I like that. But otherwise... There's not a lot that's scary. There's one other scene, actually, that I made a note of just because I thought, oh, that's actually good writing and it's raising the stakes. And that's when Laurie's in the car. She's hiding out in the car. She's sort of a bit drugged up. She's obviously injured. She's really kind of partly out of it. And then that dude who's interested in her comes into the car. he's already slipped on the blood. He's half out of it as well. And then he falls face first into the horn. Yep. I'm like, oh, that's very good. Like, they actually set up all the pieces they needed for that. And now she's like half trapped in this car with this alarm going off, basically telling Mike Myers exactly where she is.
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah. Beyond that, definitely not scared at any real point.
They had another moment where I thought they were going to do a clever setup too, which is where I think, was her name Karen, the one who's with Bud?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Karen says, he surprises her and she's like, oh, you nearly got, I could have stabbed you with these. And she pulls these scissors out of her pocket. I was like, oh, great. She's going to get attacked and she's going to have scissors to stab him.
Yeah.
But then she doesn't have the scissors on her because when he attacks, she is naked.
Because boobs.
So that was disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did turn to my lovely wife, Holly, and I said, I think we're going to get boobs. And then we did.
I said exactly the same thing to my girlfriend. I was like, oh, boob city.
We're simple men.
Oh, we are bad. I think there's moments of like, how are they going to get out of this kind of tension, but not really a... The only bit of true kind of spooky terror awfulness is the needle in the eye shot that then slowly shows his face appearing behind them.
Yeah, yeah.
I also love again, they use the POV shot of him.
Mm.
Not as much as they do in the first one.
No.
Which I kind of like that in that first one.
Yeah, good.
But yeah, they do it a couple of times early on and then abandon it completely once they get to the hospital.
Yeah, they really do. Yeah.
But it is very cool to force the audience to be Michael Myers.
Yeah.
Not Mike Myers, but Michael Myers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
There's also another bit. I don't know if this necessarily falls into the were we scared category, but I would have been scared if I was a patient. When Laurie first comes in and her like, she's fucked. She's like injured as. And then they openly say in front of her, hey, by the way, I think the doctor's drunk.
Yeah.
You're like, what is this hospital?
He is very drunk.
Right.
He comes in with his like lab coat hard off. He's like, hey. Surely Halloween is the night where you get the most... Like that kid with his
good call,
his tongue being iced for whatever reason has happened to him. Like,
so what that was meant to be, I did read up on that because I was like, what the fuck was that storyline? Which I think there were scenes that they later cut. So that was playing on that sort of almost urban legend about having razor blades in the candy. And so they put that in there as like, oh, that's creepy. That's Halloween related. We've got to have something in there. So they never explained it in the movie, at least not the version I watched. And then I also read that part of the reason they didn't is because, well, that basically is an urban legend. Like, people actually haven't done that, really. It's like, obviously, it's a threatening thing. There have been people who put cyanide in candy, but most of the cases that's happened, it's been the parents of the children who have gotten the candy who has put the cyanide in it.
What the fuck?
Which is another level of awful, obviously.
It's fucked.
Yeah. But strangers putting razor blades in candy is actually not, it's just an urban legend. It's a good horror story, but it's not actually really a thing that happens a lot.
Good. Fucking hell.
But even then, so that was, that could have been creepy, but it was almost just there for, again, no reason whatsoever.
Well, I thought the fact that he couldn't talk when he came out was going to be that he saw Michael Myers at the hospital and he's like, Mom, look, or something.
But he couldn't say it. That would have been fucking awesome, Tom. That would have been a great scene.
Five-star scene.
Five-star scene from Tom Reed over there. All right. Did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
Jesus Christ. I don't think there's a single good decision in this movie. The main one that stands out for me is just like one that happened near the end where Laurie, she watches them. So she's on the ground. She watches them enter the hospital and she can't, she's doing that Rose from Titanic thing where she can't seem to speak properly and call for help. So I thought, that's interesting. But that happened in slow motion in my mind because I was like, man, I wish they had an earlier scene where she got choked and maybe her throat's a bit fucked and she can't scream.
Right.
And I thought, oh, maybe she's just injured and she can't. And then as soon as the door shuts, she fucking screams.
She belts it out.
What the hell, man? But also she runs over and then it's like, stop banging on the hospital door.
Yeah.
Just get in the car.
Right.
All the other cars are fucked. That car just pulled up. I think the engine's still on.
Yes. Yeah.
Get in the car and drive away.
Yeah, yeah. What?
Like, you don't owe those people anything.
100%.
Get in there and drive away.
Leave. Get out of there.
So on this watch, Holly was like losing her fucking nut, like getting so angry at the poor decisions Laurie was making.
Yeah.
And I kept kind of going, but look, we know they've drugged, like they gave her those drugs before. They kind of did try to at least set up, she's a bit groggy and disorientated. But then, I think though that beat of her going, I'm speaking in a whisper. And then moments later, after the point that it's useful, she belts out this scream.
Yeah.
Infuriating. And then I had the same thought. She's whacking on the windows. There's a running car right behind her. Like, fucking insane.
Yep.
Stupid.
Yep. Do you know what I love, boys? I love when my car doesn't work because the tires have been slashed so the engine won't start.
Yeah, right. Because, of course, you can drive a car on dead tires. Who the fuck cares?
You certainly can. I assume he's done something else to the car, but you don't see that. You just see flat tires. It's like, oh, yeah, flat tires.
He does it to pretty much all the cars, yeah?
Yeah, I believe so.
Every car.
I will say this to you. I don't think, based on the speed that that guy gets around, that he has enough time to do that job.
Yeah, good call.
I think that's fucked.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Loomis's decisions are poor. Like, even just, like, even...
To almost shoot a kid.
Like, oh, yeah. Like, everything he does is pretty terrible. But, like, at no point does he go, oh, we're trying to find this guy. Where could he be? Oh, maybe he's trying to finish the job on Laurie. Let's go to the hospital.
Yeah,
that's just poor from him, I think.
Yeah, it's not till that dumb reveal that he puts the pieces together when, I don't know. Yeah, it's pretty fucking cooked.
I love that they're apologetic to him. Oh, we should have given you access to every file. Wouldn't have done any good. Loomis is a fucking idiot.
Yeah, yeah. I do love his arc of, like, you know, he kind of denies blame a lot of the time where people are like, you let him out. He's like, I didn't let him out. But he obviously has at least a sense of responsibility for this patient of his. So I kind of love that he is so gung-ho about stopping him because it's arguably his responsibility. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When he shoots the window out of that car that he's in while he's driving.
Right. Exactly. But the final scene where, he sacrifices himself, I'm like, oh, look, I didn't hate. I quite liked that because, he kind of, you know, he needed to be the one to finish the job. And, like, it was even interesting having him and Laurie really be double billed, or him and Jamie Lee be double billed in this one.
Yeah.
I don't think I really realized that, especially for this movie, they're kind of, there's two leads. They're co-leads for this film.
Yeah.
Well, they're solving their own mysteries. Yeah. She's trying to survive and he's trying to find Michael in that school that we... Now, correct me if I'm wrong, we don't see that. That's just, he just in a school, he puts a knife in a bit of paper and then writes Sam Hain on a what? Is that implying that Michael Myers is the Halloween god of death?
Honestly, I don't know, man.
Who knows? It's the same thing as, like, you know, he does get shot so many times, literally gets two shots in the eyes for fuck's sake. Like, his brain would be...
Oh, that just blinds him.
Yeah, exactly. It blinds him. It doesn't slow him down one beat. And then, like, for them to go, oh, Loomis would just be like, well, he mustn't be human. But he is human. We know he's a human being.
Yeah.
He's a man.
He's just a man. Like, I was generally quite livid about that. Mostly just because from, like, if they gave any kind of justification of it, I could maybe get on board. But they really didn't. And it just, it dilutes my care, like, an audience's care factor. Like, why would I invest in these characters when this guy can take a dozen bullets and keep coming?
That's insane. That's the biggest issue. But also, like, Laurie's just, for me... just a shit character.
Mm.
Like, I don't care if she gets killed.
Yeah, yeah.
So that, I think that's a failing of the film. And I felt that way in the first one. Not to as great an extent. Like, in this one, you should be more invested in her because it's a second film. I just didn't care. I was just like, your character is just really shit.
Yeah.
I love that bit when he goes blind and he's coming towards Laurie. And so Loomis has the idea to, like, make some sound over here to drag him over. And then Laurie... who everything she does is just so stupid, goes, I'm going to do the same thing. She's a teenager, right, essentially?
Yeah.
You're the child. He's the man with the gun. He's saving you in that moment.
Yes.
Dragging the monster away from you. Mm. You don't have to save him as well.
Yeah, right.
And turn on more things so he comes back to her, and then she just doesn't move. It's like, he's still blind. You can, like, crawl out of the way, but you're sitting in the corner still.
Yeah, yeah.
They could both leave that room.
Yes.
Easily.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then he could shoot a gas canister from outside.
Yep.
Or light a match and throw it in.
Don't you just love that he forces a gun on Laurie and goes, you take it. And then his gun has no bullets. And it's like, you're a dipshit, man.
Insane.
You're a fucking idiot. You're just a doctor who doesn't know how to handle a gun.
And I think...
he's a pretty good shot. He's actually a pretty good shot for a doctor.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think going back to Laurie's character, I agree. There's, like, I think part of the problem is, and this is something that gets sort of fixed in later slasher movies, where... in this one, at least, we never see her fight back once. She's always running. And, like, it's almost like it could arguably play as a save the cat moment, but all it's really doing is giving her a bit of spine and a bit of backbone and, like, getting us to go, okay, maybe if she tries hard enough, she'll beat him.
Yeah.
But she's always on the run. There's always, like, she's just a victim the entire way. Obviously, Loomis has to come in and save her. And I don't know, I just wish we had one scene where she at least, like, fucking got a good shot in early on.
Yeah.
Even if then she keeps running, whatever. But, like, at no point did she ever put up a fight. She's just running the entire time.
Yeah. She doesn't have, like, a single hero moment.
Mm.
And it kind of sucks. And I think it's something like Nightmare, where Nancy, for me, Nancy's such a great character.
Yeah, cool, dude.
But I think Nancy achieves more in 5 minutes than Laurie has in the two films we've watched. Yep. And that's just poor character work, I think.
Yeah.
Even Friday the 13th Part 2, you've got a character who is like, right, I'm going to use my psychological knowledge to trick Jason into thinking I'm his mum. I'm going to fight back. I'm going to do something.
Yes.
Laurie just is victim and only victim. So I assume, look, based on trailers and photos I've seen of adult Jamie Lee in other films,
yes,
it feels like the shit franchise course corrects that.
Oh, yes. And I can't wait for that, honestly. Like, seeing Jamie Lee in her older years getting ready to kick some fucking ass. Oh, boy. I'm so ready for some of that.
Can't
wait.
Absolutely. Hey, what's the name of the paramedic guy that's into Laurie?
Jimmy?
Jimmy, yeah. That... Like, he survived, didn't he?
So we don't actually see it, but I did read there again.
He just passes out.
Yes. So it's sort of like ambiguous, but apparently there was a scene in a longer version that I didn't watch where when she goes into the back of the ambo, he's already in there. And so we do see him sit up and he's alive.
I expected him to die or something. Like, they didn't.
Yeah.
They gave him enough screen time, but then didn't really do enough with him. And I'm a simple man. What I really wanted more than anything was her getting put in the ambulance at the end and Jimmy appearing and giving her that can of Coke that he promised.
Oh,
Sean.
Come on, man. You can't offer a can of Coke and not deliver. All right?
Yeah.
Even if before he fainted, he had said, I'll get you that can of Coke. Like,
right. Yeah, something nice. Yeah, it would have been dumb, but it would have been sweet.
Yeah. Chekhov's can of Coke. Come on.
Yeah.
Sort that shit out.
Come on. Bloody hell, JC. It could have been a Budweiser.
Oh. No, JC had drunk them all. There was none left, buddy. All right, how would we have done in this situation?
I think we win easily.
We just run away.
There's fire, so already we've got Sean on the case.
Yep.
Actually, the fact that fire seemed to be successful until movies 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
To be honest, Loomis is such a hero for going the fire move. I respect that so much, to the extent where I don't care about any of his miss. I don't care that he got that guy killed at the start. Loomis's best moments are all about fire.
Right.
I love that.
He killed an innocent man with fire, and then he also killed a guilty man, and it evens out. It's fine.
That bit too, where at no point does anyone address the fact that an innocent guy has died. Loomis and that other cop have that moment of being like, oh, but nothing happened.
Fucking hell. I think we can be confident, weirdly. Like, he's bulletproof, but he's not fireproof.
Yeah.
And, we don't have guns, so cool. That's not an option for us. He is very slow in this film.
He's very slow.
Yeah.
Boys, the only thing that we're in trouble with, well, Damon and I might be, is boobs.
Oh, the boob
factor. If I'm offered boobs,
true.
I'm dead. So just so you're all aware.
The water's too hot, boys. Stay out of that.
Sean. Boobs.
Well, only one of us can get taken down by that, though, in that situation. So that's true.
We probably survive, but Damo or I are dead.
Okay.
I think one of us has had our genitals broiled to
hang on.
Peen soup.
Peen soup. I think Tom is our horniest member. You've had a bit of a peen soup.
A bit of peen soup, man. But otherwise, I think we can win. We've watched a lot of slashers now. We've watched a lot of horror. We're a bit more proactive, I think, than Laurie. The only thing we probably are at risk of is being killed by Loomis accidentally. Like, actually, our greatest threat isn't Michael Myers.
That's a great point.
Right?
Yeah. I think we'd have to team up with Loomis. That's the safest option for us.
Correct.
Standing behind him at all times.
Right. Be out of his line of fire.
So the fact that Michael's so slow is such a huge advantage, because ultimately, and he doesn't have like a gun or anything. It's just a sharp weapon. You can just run away. It's kind of like It Follows, but it's not like a curse forever, because once you run away and put distance, that's it. That's the distance.
Yeah. He's got a scalpel.
Yeah.
It's insane that that's his major weapon for most of this. Like, he gets the knife in that earlier scene. I think he kills one person with it, and then he's got a scalpel.
Yeah.
And the other thing that drove me nuts about this film, I'm just going to throw it in there because I made a note of it, and it literally made me livid. He stabs someone with a scalpel and then lifts them up.
Oh, it's great.
Nah, it's the best.
It's awesome. I love that so much. It's ridiculous, and it's great. And just that little bit where the shoes hit the ground.
The shoes fall off.
Classic.
I also loved the kill with the syringe just directly into the temple.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
that's how people die.
Right. Mm. That was maybe one of the better kills, because I think it's meant to be like he's put air into her bloodstream or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I bought into that one. I was on board. I did love also our boy Jimmy slipping on the blood.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because it kind of came from nowhere. I was not ready for that.
His greatest injury is just a concussion.
I read that he did it in one take, and he's so proud of that fact.
Okay.
Probably got hurt and went, that's it.
All right.
At what point do we pretty quickly realize that you can't kill him with bullets?
Well, he survived the first one.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then it gets a bit grisly, but then, like, really the only way to do it is to, like, catch him. So we just set a trap for him, and he's very slow. We'll just catch him in, like, a spider's web type situation.
Yeah.
Then you've just got to get, like, a saw and just, like, cut him up a bit. Cut his leg off or something.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, you have to cut his head off.
Yes.
And then surely that's it for him, right?
Well, yes, but in the rules of this fucking movie, probably not. But I think for us, yeah, that'll do it.
Yep. I'm fascinated to watch the rest of these films and just see how extreme the methods of death are for him that he keeps coming back from.
Yeah.
It's really brave of Loomis to assume that fire would kill him if a bullet to the head wouldn't.
Yeah, it's big. It's a big call. I like your idea, though, of us, like, just cutting him up to bits, basically.
And then
afterwards, the three of us, Loomis, we get in that hot tub. We have some of JC's Heinekens. We just chill the fuck out. It's a job well done. Well, on that note, that is all the Scaredy Talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
And if you Scaredy listeners would like to get into contact with us, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter at Scaredy Boys, or individually, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
And I'm at Boob City.
Yeah, boy. Stay scared, everyone. You don't know what death is.